Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends. This is Rachel Herbeck, and welcome back to Burning Hearts. So happy to have you back this week as we're beginning to go through some of Luke chapter 14. If you didn't join us yesterday, I really would encourage you to go listen to yesterday's episode as it really sets up the context of this passage in Luke that we're diving into. And what a little recap of what we talked about yesterday is Jesus over and over and over again, friends, he tells us what it means to follow him. We are not in charge. And this is the Holy Spirit reminding me over and over and over again, is this project of Christianity that we've entered into, of Catholicism, of following the risen Lord Jesus, of entering through our baptism into this familial relationship with God himself. We are not in control of this. We did not set it up. We did not define this. And one of my concerns about discipleship in the modern age that I think seeps into each and every one of our paths of discipleship is kind of like, Jesus, we're like co-driving this together. And this is what I want this to look like. And what should we have this relationship look like? You're like, and it's not that Jesus takes away your freedom at all. Following him gives us tremendous liberty. But you know, like in a friendship or in a relationship or something, and you sit down and you're like, hey, like, what should our relationship look like? What are the terms of our relationship? You know, it's like, oh, this give and take, all this kind of stuff. And it's not to say that Jesus is controlling or demanding, but the relationship of discipleship to Jesus, by definition, is on his terms. And this is what we began to get into in this passage yesterday. And this is such a good thing for the season of Lent, friends, to say, Lord, the practices that I'm doing, I'm doing practices so that places in my heart are opened up, that the scaffolding is taken away so that I can see clearly how I'm living my relationship with God on my own terms. And so how can you purge me? How can you strip me? How can you prune me to show me how I need to live relationship on your terms? And this is the invitation that Jesus gives us. And we just began yesterday of just that one line of how Jesus invites each and every human being into a relationship of discipleship that has a high standard, an incredibly high standard. And of course, we can't achieve that standard without the very grace of God. But he still shows us, hey, this is what this relationship is. It's total and radical commitment. It's giving your whole entire self. It's everything for everything. It's giving Christ everything until you have nothing left and he gives you everything. And he's saying that to the people that are just kind of trailing behind him, wanting to see the miracles. And so yesterday, I think that was a really good conviction for each and every one of us. And we're just going to pick up on that today as we read the Gospel of Luke. So let's pray. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to come and give us a particular grace to see these places in our hearts where this applies to us, where we've actually let a lower standard of discipleship creep into our hearts in a way that's unhealthy, in a way that's disordered. So come, Holy Spirit, as we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for being with us. We thank you that you define what this relationship looks like. We thank you that you've come and died for us and rose from the dead, that you've actually even given us the opportunity to enter into this life-giving relationship with you. Give us the grace to see. Give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the ways that we're turning away from you, the ways that we're making and demanding you to live this relationship on our own terms. And give us the grace, Lord, of submission and obedience. We ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I'm thinking of this funny story. At the beginning of Lent, I was on Ash Wednesday, actually. I was babysitting a friend of mine's kids, and I brought them to Ash Wednesday Mass with me. And the oldest was 4, and we were about to go up for the ashes, and she was asking, you know, what's going on? Why are people getting these ashes? And so I was trying to explain in a 4-year-old way all about Lent and all about ashes and all this kind of stuff. And I said, you know, and during Lent, during this next time, is a time where we have to pay attention to really obey Jesus's commands and be obedient to Jesus's commandments. And I don't think she'd ever heard the word command. You know, she's 4 years old. She doesn't understand the concept of commandments, but she just, her instinctive reaction, she just goes, "Ugh, I hate commandments." And it was so funny because it was like just the reaction of the human spirit. You know, she had no idea. She never heard the word before. She had no idea what commandments were. But it was just like this human nature being like, oh, submitting to God's commandments. Oh, being obedient to God's commandments. Oh, there's something in us that like rises up that's so human. And so I think the Lord in this Lent is calling us to submit to him more, to submit to what are the terms of his discipleship relationship. So let's go ahead and read 14:25-33. "Now great multitudes accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel, whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassy and asks terms of peace. So therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." So powerful. And we'll see three times here where Jesus says the phrase, "cannot be my disciple." Which is shocking because you're like, Jesus, don't you want, why can't everybody just be welcomed? And, you know, sometimes I think Christianity is like, it's like, oh, isn't the main value of Christianity inclusivity? And Jesus's message is everybody can come, but there's a way that this is done. Everybody has access. Everybody is invited, but not everybody has access in a particular way because you have to be willing to respond in a particular way. And I think it's this way where like we hear Jesus say, "You cannot be my disciple." And we're like, oh, that's so harsh. That's so rude. That's so mean. But then we think about life and it's like if somebody came and is like, oh, I want to be a doctor. And you're like, that's great. Like anybody can try to be a doctor if they want to. They can apply to medical school. They can, you know, all this kind of stuff. And this analogy obviously falls short because I'm not talking about working for God's approval or working for God's love. It's something that you receive. But it would be like saying, I want to be a doctor, but I don't want to apply to medical school. And then being like, that's so rude and terrible of you that you're saying I cannot be a doctor because I don't want to apply to medical school. And so Jesus is saying, everyone is called to be my disciple, but some of you cannot. So let's look at that first, cannot. So it says, "The multitudes accompanied him, and he turned and said, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brothers, and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.'" Now, this is really intense, and I think Jesus is using some hyperbole here, this idea of hating. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, he cannot be my disciple. And so what we have to establish is in biblical language, hate is often meaning to love less by comparison, not emotional hostility. So there's a couple different times that hatred is used. And there's a different time when hatred is used where Jesus says, if anyone hates his brother, that's like murdering them in your heart. So that's a different kind of hate. Jesus is actually using this emotional hostility, hating. But in this other type of hate that he uses, it does not mean this emotional hostility. He's meaning to love less by comparison. Because Jesus, up other places in Mark chapter 7, he upholds the fourth commandment. But in this, it combines this teaching that family love is holy. It's amazing. It's wonderful. But it's not absolute. And so what Jesus is laying out here is that discipleship requires preferring Christ even over the most sacred earthly bonds. And so Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't love our family. And I think this is where having that passage beforehand about the excuses is a really good context. Because remember that first excuse is someone saying, I can't come to the banquet because I have to get married. Marriage is a good. Marriage is a beautiful good that the church encourages, and the depth of intimacy that comes between spouses, they literally say two are becoming one. But then Jesus is saying, even this cannot be used as an excuse not to come to the banquet, so that even these things that are goods cannot be used as distractions to love God less. He's saying we have to love everything through love of Christ and overarching preference for him. It reminds me in John chapter 15 where Jesus is saying, even the branches, those branches that do not bear fruit, I will cast out into the fire. And the branches that bear fruit, I will prune. That even the branches that are bearing fruit, these goods, and the reaction is not to say, oh, these are, it's bad to bear fruit. He's saying, no, it's good to bear fruit. These relationships are good, but they have to be properly and rightly ordered. That true love orders all loves under God. So the issue that Jesus is getting at here is not family rejection, not saying, hey, you shouldn't be close to your family, you shouldn't love your family, but disordered attachment. That actually saying your primary allegiance isn't to your family. Your primary allegiance isn't to your husband or to your wife. You should have allegiance. You should have a bond that is this deep, beautiful bond. You should give some kind of preference and primacy, but not a preference and primacy that overwhelms and surpasses the preference and primacy of Christ. I love this. Augustine has this great quote, St. Augustine, where he says, he loves you too little who loves anything together with you, which he does not love for your sake. So that kind of, that's like a tongue twister. You know, you're like, you know, he sells, she sells, she sells down by the seashore. That's kind of like what that sounds like at the very first glimpse. So he who's referring to is a disciple. He loves you, God, too little if he loves anything together with you that he does not love for your own sake. So if we're loving anything, not through the love of God, that everything, Christ intends everything to be ordered through love for him, that I love my spouse ultimately because I love Christ, that I love my family ultimately because I love Christ, that it falls into a properly ordered love. And this is what true love is. And this is why sometimes you see, do you ever have friends, or think of like high school relationships where people start dating, like your friend in high school finally gets a boyfriend, and they literally have to spend every waking, breathing second with that person, and you're like, you're getting coffee with them, and then they like bring their boyfriend without permission. You're like, come on, you know? And there's something very strange about it, that it's like, oh, there's kind of a disordered attachment here. And that again is a hyperbolic analogy. It doesn't fall completely, but it's to say that God is calling us to order all of our loves through him. And I've talked about this before. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he has this amazing quote where he's talking about sober intoxication of the spirit and falling in love with Jesus. And he says, falling in love with Jesus, he took me into the wine cellar and he reordered my loves. Jesus is saying a fundamental part of discipleship is a reordering of loves into proper attachment to Christ. So join us again tomorrow as we continue to talk about these aspects of true discipleship. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.